the open culturist, right? It's causing quite a stir. Hmm. People are saying it could really shake up how we think about arts and culture marketing.
Yeah, and what's really got people talking is how it's tackling this very real problem. I mean, think about it. Even with all the apps and websites out there, it's still a pain to figure out what's happening in your own backyard, you know?
Totally. It's like you're stuck in this loop of scrolling through endless Facebook events or those like super generic event listings that tell you nothing.
Exactly. And that's what Open Cultures is trying to fix.
So no more of that. Instead, we've got this like this one-stop shop, this hub for all things cultural, and it's built by the people who actually make the culture happen.
Yeah, it's all about putting the power back in the hands of the artists and those cultural organizations. And one thing that's super cool is this idea of user-generated content, right?
Right. And it's not just about finding events. It's about like the whole experience. Like in our research, we found they have this feature where you can say, look up a play and then boom, instantly see other stuff by that director, or even find a restaurant nearby to grab a bite beforehand. Talk about convenient.
Absolutely. That's a game changer, especially for smaller organizations that, let's face it, might not have a ton of resources to pour into marketing.
Yeah, exactly. They can leverage this platform to really up their game and connect with a wider audience.
And it's not just about convenience for the user. It's about efficiency for the organizers, too. Like, one of the things that jumped out at me was this feature where it can automatically generate landing pages. That's huge. Think about it. Even if you're not super tech savvy, you can still have a professional online presence, which, let's be honest, used to mean hiring a web developer and spending a lot of money.
Okay, so that's where this whole digital sovereignty thing comes in, right?
Exactly.
I've got to be honest, though. I hear that term thrown around a lot, but I'm not always sure I understand what it means practically.
Basically, it means having more control over your online presence. In this case, artists and organizations wouldn't be at the mercy of some algorithm or a big tech company that could change the rules whenever they want.
Ah, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
They have actual ownership over their content and their data.
So it's like having your own storefront instead of just renting space in someone else's mall. I like it. That makes total sense. But something I'm curious about is, like, how does all this user-generated content actually play out in the real world?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because isn't there a risk that things could get, I don't know, messy?
Yeah.
Or inaccurate, if just anyone can add information.
Right. You definitely don't want a free-for-all. But it seems like Open Cultures thought of that. They have this whole system for content moderation built in.
Oh, okay. So it's not just like, publish whatever.
No, not at all. They've actually given site operators the tools they need to manage the whole process. Kind of like, you know, think of a well-maintained library. You've got librarians who make sure everything's in order, that the information is accurate, and that it's organized in a way that makes sense.
Right.
So in a way, Open Cultures provides similar tools for managing all that user-generated content.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That makes me feel a lot better. But let's be real for a second. Moderating content, I mean, that takes time and effort.
It does.
So how on earth is this sustainable for, like, smaller organizations?
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are already stretched thin as it is.
That's a really important point. And it's something Open Cultures seems to have been really mindful of when they were designing the platform.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, they've built in features specifically to make this whole moderation thing less of a burden. Yeah. Stuff like bulk actions for content management, clear workflows for dealing with reports, that kind of thing.
Oh, interesting. So instead of getting totally bogged down in every little detail, they've tried to streamline the whole process, make it as user-friendly as possible.
Exactly. And the beauty of it is it's not just about the technology itself. Remember, Open Cultures is open source, which means the community is a huge part of what makes it all work.
Right. We touched on that earlier. So how does that actually work in practice, this whole community involvement thing?
Well, it means that people aren't just passively using the platform. They can actively contribute to making it better, you know? Like, reporting bugs, suggesting new features, or even for those who have the skills, actually writing code themselves.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It's a real collaborative approach, which is one of the things that makes Open Cultures so unique.
Yeah, it's a big difference from those closed source platforms where you're basically stuck with whatever the company decides is best, whether you like it or not.
Exactly. And speaking of being able to see what's going on behind the scenes, their development roadmap is public too.
Oh, wow.
So you can actually see what they're working on, what the community's priorities are, and even get involved in shaping the future of the platform.
That's amazing. I did actually take a peek at their roadmap, and there are some seriously cool features in development. Like, they're working on integrating with regional public transport schedules. How convenient is that?
Yeah.
And even experimenting with AI-powered event recommendations.
Right. That's what I love about open culture is they're not content with just being a functional platform. They want it to be something that's actually useful, enjoyable, even a little bit magical.
Okay, now you're speaking my language. I love that idea of like serendipitous cultural discovery. Exactly. Imagine, you know, you stumble upon this amazing local theater production you never would have heard about otherwise, or you discover your new favorite band. All because the platform kind of gets you. It understands what you're into.
It's like having a friend who's plugged into, like, all the best-kept secrets, but instead of relying on word of mouth, you've got this whole sophisticated system working behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Now, speaking of hidden gems, I read about the city of Göttingen in Germany.
Yeah.
They've actually started using Open Culturas for their official event calendar.
That's right.
What can we learn from them, from their experience?
Well, Göttingen's really interesting because they're kind of a test case, right? They're showing how Open Culturas can work in a real-world setting. And they were facing a lot of the same challenges that other cities are dealing with. Outdated systems, information silos, all that.
So it's not just theoretical.
Not at all. They've shown how open cultures can actually make a difference. And what's really cool is they chose open cultures not just because it's, like, technically good, but because it aligns with their overall goals, you know?
How so?
Well, they really wanted to create a more vibrant and, crucially, more accessible cultural scene. And they saw open cultures as a way to empower artists, streamline everything, and ultimately give the citizens themselves more ownership over their city's cultural landscape.
Right. That goes back to what we were saying about digital sovereignty.
Exactly. It's about having a voice, having a stake in how things are run.
So Göttingen adopted Open Culturas for their event calendar. But they didn't stop there, did they?
You're right. They didn't. They also saw the potential for Open Culturas to support specific initiatives. Like one example is this cool project they have called the Culture Pass. It's basically this program to get young adults more engaged with culture.
Oh, I'd love to hear more about that. What exactly is the Culture Pass and how does Open Culturas fit in?
Well, the Culture Pass is this program where basically the government gives young adults some money they can spend on cultural experiences. And Open Culturas provides the perfect platform for getting the word out about all these events and reaching that younger demographic.
That's really interesting. So they're using Open Culturas to kind of like bridge that gap between the younger generation and the cultural scene.
Exactly. It's a great example of how this platform can be more than just, you know, a listing of events. It can actually help drive these bigger cultural initiatives.
Yeah, that's really cool. But with all this exciting potential, I also keep coming back to this question of practicality. Like, how sustainable is this whole model in the long run?
That's a really important question. And, you know, while we can't predict the future, I do think Open Culturas is approaching this from a smart angle. For one thing, that commitment to open source development is huge.
Oh, yeah, we keep coming back to that.
Right. It means the platform isn't at the mercy of like one company's bottom line or some CEO's whims. It's constantly evolving, being shaped by a whole community that's invested in its success.
So it's less likely to just, I don't know, disappear overnight if some tech giant decides it's not profitable enough anymore.
Exactly. Plus, there's something to be said for transparency and accountability. Because the code is open, anyone can look at it, see how it works.
So no more black box algorithms.
Right. Which I think is super important when you're talking about a platform that relies on user-generated content. It builds trust.
For sure. And speaking of things that build trust, what about the whole cost factor? I know a lot of open source projects rely heavily on like volunteers, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But I imagine it can also make it tough to maintain things long term.
You're absolutely right to raise that concern. And it seems like the folks behind Open Culturas are aware of it too. They're trying to walk that tightrope by offering different options. Like organizations with more technical know-how, they can choose to self-host.
Okay.
But for those who might need a bit more hand-holding, they offer subscription-based services. That way they can generate some revenue to keep things running without compromising their open source principles.
So it's finding that balance.
Exactly. And the other thing to keep in mind is that the more widely the platform is adopted, the more sustainable it becomes. It's like this positive feedback loop. The more people use it, the more resources they have to improve it,
right,
which makes it even more appealing to new users and so on.
Right. It just keeps growing.
Precisely. And let's not forget about the power of community, right? Open Culturas really encourages people to get involved in all aspects of the project, whether it's documentation, translations, even coding and bug fixes. That sense of shared ownership is really powerful, I think.
Yeah, it definitely changes the whole dynamic. It's less about what can this platform do for me and more like how can we together make this whole thing better.
Now you've got it. That's what's so exciting about Open Culture is it's not just a tool. It's like part of this larger shift we're seeing towards a more collaborative, more participatory approach to arts and culture.
Yeah, that's really cool. So Open Culture is, it might not have all the answers, but it's certainly asking the right questions and shaking things up a bit.
And that's what's made this deep dive so fascinating, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. We've talked about the nuts and bolts of the platform, its potential, some of the challenges it faces. We've looked at real-world examples like Göttingen,
yeah.
And we've even touched upon these bigger ideas about the future of arts and culture.
Right. It's a lot to think about.
It really is. So as you go about your day, maybe listening to this as you're walking around or commuting, whatever you're doing, here's something to chew on. What if this idea of an open, interconnected cultural landscape isn't just some utopian dream? What if it's actually within reach? How could something like Open Culturas help you connect with your community, discover new artists, maybe even change the way we think about culture itself?